We look carefully at that package of federal spending bills and find major changes to America's retirement system. I'm David Brancaccio in New York at Morning. A bill called the SECURE Act was tucked into one of the year-end government spending bills approved yesterday. It's designed to make it easier for Americans to save for retirement and is expected to become law today. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has details.
The legislation makes it easier for small companies to join together and share the cost of offering retirement plans. It also protects employers from lawsuits if the insurer offering an annuity plan fails and can't make payments to retirees. Annuities offer a monthly payment, sometimes for life. Some consumer groups don't like annuities because they can have high fees. The SECURE Act tries to make IRAs more attractive by allowing savers to keep contributing to them past age 70 and a half. And the law also lifts the requirement that individuals have to start withdrawals from their retirement plans at age 70 and a half, moving that up to age 72. The bill also allows employers to start offering retirement plans to long-term, part-time workers.
That is Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you. And now that the new NAFTA has passed the House, the USMC agreement goes to the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated he will not take up the matter until after the presidential impeachment trial in the Senate. The job market is strong and unemployment is at a 50-year low. Yet, after a decade of expansion, the first decade ever without a recession, pay raises are still meager, growing just over 3% year on year. And according to a new survey from Bankrate, a lot of Americans aren't seeing any pay hike at all this year. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Bankrate surveyed 1,000 people across the country and found
about half of working Americans got a pay increase this year, and about half did not.
Financial analyst Greg McBride says last year, just 38% got a raise. The Labor Department reports a smaller percentage of Americans received no pay increase this year. McBride points out the survey methodologies are different. He speculates some workers with flat paychecks could be getting more expensive benefits.
They may have gotten their raise in the form of their deduction for medical insurance not going up, whereas the employer absorbed a larger share of that.
About a quarter of those earning more found a better paying job. Nick Bunker is at the Indeed Hiring Lab.
Wage growth for folks who switch jobs is much higher than workers who stay at their job.
And he says the quit and get a new job wage premium has gone up as the labor market has tightened. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The FTSE index in London is up 0.2%. Here, S&P and NASDAQ futures are little changed. The Dow future up 0.1%. Marketplace helps you answer questions you've always wondered about. And now that includes finding out more about how and why we do what we do every day. Become a Marketplace investor today, and you'll get exclusive access to a series of virtual AMAs featuring Molly Wood, Guy Rizdahl, and me, David Brancaccio. Don't miss out on our 2020 Ask Me Anything series. Contribute $60 or sign up to donate $5 a month at marketplace.org. And thank you. This summer marked 100 years since the death of Andrew Carnegie, and in 1889, the steel tycoon began spelling out his philosophy of charitable giving in what became known as Carnegie's Gospel of Wealth. Now the head of one of the largest modern-day philanthropic organizations has a new Gospel of Wealth, a book called From Generosity to Justice. It's about donors needing to address the system, not just the symptoms, with fixing inequality front and center. Darren Walker, president of the Ford Foundation, sees Carnegie as a visionary whose vision needs an update.
He actually believed that everyone had a right to read, to become educated.
That was still a subversive thought in the late 19th century, early 20th.
Especially for one of the richest men in the world. But Andrew Carnegie was also comfortable with the inequality that existed during the Gilded Age. And what I posit is that today, the Andrew Carnegies of the world should not be comfortable with the level of inequality we're seeing in our Gilded Age.
You wrestle with this throughout the book, this idea of there's a kind of charity, a kind of philanthropy that addresses symptoms, but often misses the cause of the problem that led to what maybe you want to give money to fix.
And what I mean by that is we have to get at the structures and systems which produce so much advantage for some of us and so much disadvantage for others. Whether it's the system of mass incarceration, our education system, our housing system, our economic systems, they have been designed to produce the outcomes that we're getting. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that we're getting a sort of distorted capitalism that does not produce shared prosperity. And I don't think it's the world that we have to accept.
It's a lot for philanthropy to take on, though. I mean, like there are some people who don't even accept that income inequality is a problem that needs to be solved. They just see it as a sign that wealthy people have succeeded.
It is a sign that wealthy people have succeeded, and we shouldn't demonize wealth or demonize success. But we do have to ask, is the playing field level? Who has advantage and who doesn't?
Sometimes people are driven to want to just deal with what's in front of them. Should people do both, or should we really focus on the systems and not the individual?
I think we have to do both. We must invest in that individual homeless person, and then we have to ask ourselves, why is there so much homelessness? Only through a systemic, structural response can we hope to get at reducing the numbers at scale.
Darren Walker is president of the Ford Foundation. His new book is From Generosity to Justice, A New Gospel of Wealth. Mr. Walker, thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
You can hear about some donors needing to get over themselves in the director's cut of that interview, part of our How We Give series, accumulating online at marketplace.org, where you can also find a link to a free electronic edition of that book. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. Our Marketplace Fellow is Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.